If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your hosts, Lee Vowell and Todd Vandenberg.
And we are live on recording from Studios. Are we going to start all over again, Todd? There's a lot of background noise. Kind of blew it.
Yeah. I don't hear any noise whatsoever, but your voice was going in and out, and that's what she said.
My voice was?
Yeah, very weird. Skype having its friendly little fun, as it typically does at the start of a podcast. Thank you, Skype, for all of your hard work.
Okay, well, let's pick up where we were last week. So far out in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy lies a small, unregarded yellow sun. Orbiting this at a distance.
Why do you have to be racist? You're also racist.
I'm not. It's Douglas Adams is racist. Orbiting this sun at a distance of roughly 98 million miles is an utter insignificant little blue-green, again racist, planet whose ape descended life forms, again racist, are so amazingly primitive that they still think digital watches are a pretty neat idea. Now it's bedtime. I'm going to turn the lights off and we're all going to take a little snooze. For those just tuning in, this is how we always do this show. We always read a little bit of Douglas Adams and, you know, we paraphrase Abraham Lincoln. Todd has left the show. He's refused to do this because of the racism.
Yeah, I'm not down with Lincoln. Dirty racist. Lincoln.
I'm down with Lincoln. I think that's a Drake song.
It's a great song.
You would know. It's a great song. Yeah. Torontonian, I guess. Anywho.
Torontonian.
Just an update.
Torontonian.
We're talking about this pre-pro.
It's a soft T, and that's what she said also.
I can't even say that.
What?
Anyway, to catch people back up on the Chicago White Sox, they're 3-7 in their last 10. We talked about that pre-pro.
I did.
And they're only 30 games back in their division. That's of the fourth place team in their division, mind you. 30 games back behind the next team in front of them. It says a lot. They've been eliminated, and that's of the Tigers, who were 60-64.
Yes. They were, ouch. They were very ouchy.
I'm looking at the Tigers, and they're pretty consistent. They are 60-64. Their run differential is -4, so I guess they lost those four games by one.
Yeah, exactly.
They are 30-32 at home. They are 30-32 away. That's really weird. There's like that is, very consistent.
That's very consistent.
You know what's not consistent? Jason Myers on extra points. That is a concern.
That is a concern. I was taking notes for the brilliant article that was posted earlier today. Well, I mean, it's an article anyway.
Three Lions, Two Lambs from preseason. I don't know if you looked at the title. I switched it. Everything's Lions and Lambs now.
I love it. It's very biblical.
Actually, if we worked for Sideline Report, the Detroit Lions fan-sided site, that would make sense. Three Lions, Two Lambs.
Two Lambs would make perfect sense. Lambs to the slaughter. And early on, Myers was one of my losers. I was like, can't really put him as a loser when he hits a pair of field goals over 45, actually 48 and 50, right? But yeah, that's a big concern. It's like, dude,
if he makes an extra point, it's a tie game.
Exactly. It's a tie game. and the Titans would have been forced. I mean, if they had cared to win, they would have been forced to. I mean, the fact that they had Mr. Rudolph in on the final drive, and I know they're flipping back and forth, but I mean, still, it's kind of like, really? Like, why are you doing that in a preseason game? It's like, oh, let's make sure we have our best chance to win. It's like, it's preseason, dude. But on the other hand, it's like, it's good game experience, and I get it. It's like, put him in the situation. Can he drive the length of the field, get us into position to win in a situation if it happens again and it counts? So, you know, okay, fine. But, yeah, if he makes the extra point, which he should have, like you said, it's a tie game. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, yeah, thank goodness.
Now he's one of three in the preseason.
Yeah, that's concerning, to be sure.
We should back up just a bit and make sure that people know we're not discussing Douglas Adams as a racist. Just to put that out there.
Yes.
He probably was a 49ers fan, I'm assuming. He looks like he lived in California at the end of his life. Anyway, fine writer. And if all the articles were on 12 Men Rising were Douglas Adams, we'd probably have a lot bigger readership.
You know, people would just look at it. They wouldn't read, but they would look at it.
Like, I wonder what happened with Geno Smith today. It's like, oh, where is he? of course the joint practices, there was a lot of, you could find out a lot more about Seattle and Tennessee probably from the joint practices that they held this and the days leading up to the preseason game was just like and I know you wrote something glowing about Sam Howell for the second straight week, and I've seen lots of other people. He did go 11-14. My concern with Howell is that he's just started off each of the preseason games with the first two series being like, eh. And I know he fumbled and that happens.
Oh, no. He wasn't. He was god awful. It's like
third down throw to Jake Bobo. He overthrew 6'4 Bobo.
Yeah.
By 5 feet. I mean, it was not even close. And the guy was, it was just a crossing pattern 10 yards over the line. And Bobo was wide open.
Yeah.
That's concerning. I know he looked better as the game went on, but you can't have slow starts like that when you're facing number ones, of which he hasn't.
Yeah, which is absolutely true.
It could be a pick. But it could be a pick six.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like he wasn't playing with his own number ones, which was, to me, is like, okay, that kind of evens out. But the slow start.
He hasn't done that with most of practice. And yeah, so he should be used to the one he's throwing to the people he's used to throwing to. And you can't miss Bobo, 6'4 Bobo, like that. I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. It's like that was the very first note. It's like I mentioned, it's like Myers was on my notes. It's like on the loser side because of that missed extra point. Howell was mine, was the top loser early on, because it's like he was terrible in those first two series. And like I texted you, this is also pre-pro. Hi, Ted. Like, then it's like, oh, let's put a different guy in there, but let's just have him wear a Sam Howell mask so it looks like him and put on, because he's completely different after that.
Reminds me of that Shia LaBeouf video with the song about Shia LaBeouf. Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about?
Thankfully, no, I have not.
Song about Shia LaBeouf, and like he's this horrible creature and he has to be beheaded at the end. And then at the very end of the video.
It's a biography. Okay, I got it. Okay.
At the very end of the, it's just a music video and it's extremely ornate. But at the end of the video, it pans to the crowd and there's just one person in the crowd and it's Shia LaBeouf, and he just slowly stands up, starts clapping.
That's pretty funny.
It's very uncomfortable.
Black Mirror-esque.
Yeah, exactly. Is he in Black Mirror?
Being Shia LaBeouf, Shuda La White Sox. What? I don't understand how that guy pronounces his name.
It's like he might actually play for the White Sox.
He changes. They'd be better if he did, I'm sure. Anyway, back to the Hawks.
That's what we're here for. Sorry about
that. I mean, like you said, it's like you're watching third and fourth stringers in the second half for the Hawks and for the Titans too. It's like all you're doing is looking to see is like, is this guy going to be good enough to stay on the practice squad? Is this guy going to be the fifth receiver? I mean, that's basically what you're looking at that point. And
Walker,
some people,
Walker looks terrible. I mean, he's terrible. I mean, I no offense to the guy, but if he's going, he's not, obviously not going to be on.
I thought you were making a joke and you were talking about K9.
No. PJ.
He was awful. Yeah.
If he's the third quarterback, if he's the quarterback on the practice, I'm hoping that he just hands off if he comes in the game.
Although I'll say two things. I want to say two things here. So first, obviously he was on the list of losers last night. And went back and said, yeah, I actually said, oh, the Hawks quarterback room is actually quite good. And it's like, well, I was 2/3 right. And I really appreciate how awful he was because he saved me from the huge mistake because I was looking at the roster of the Raiders and I was going to write an article. It was like the Raiders quarterback room is so awful. They should probably trade for PJ Walker. And it's like, thank God. Thank God I didn't write that yesterday because the Raiders would – they might take Walker if we also gave them, I don't know, $10 million.
He was horrible.
He was so bad. It's like, yeah, I'm on the last drive and he's finally moving the team a little bit. And it's like, you know what? A blind squirrel, as they say, finds, I don't know, Shia LaBeouf every once in a while. It was just
– Is it LaBeouf?
I don't know what the hell it is. LeBeouf. I have to watch True Grit again because that's, you know, the character's name is LeBeouf and LeBeouf. John Wick can never get it right. And
well, I've watched the video. They say it a bajillion times, and so you think it would be.
And he was god awful. It's like, yeah, he made some good throws.
He was all right in holes.
He did. He did make some good throws, but oh my god. Oh my God!
It was just bad.
Talking about Sam Howell's start, right? Sam Howell was bad on those first two. I mean, absolutely. But the whole
that throw to Aesop Winston was terrible. No, I'm kidding. It was perfectly placed.
But it's like PJ, poor PJ, wishes he had played like Sam Howell on those first two series because he looked like, dude, we have to cut you. We're not even going to have an emergency court. We'll keep D. Eskridge for God's sakes if we have to as an emergency quarterback. Because that's right.
Did he play?
No, I think he's still injured. He was injured. Which of course is like, come on, just cut the guy. Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's like shocking news today. D. Eskridge is injured. It's like what? I never saw this coming.
Chenault looks better than Eskridge anyway. I mean, he should make the team.
Much better. If it wasn't for a certain rookie who stood out, Chenault would definitely be my fourth winner if we had four winners. He's got to make the team. He's making plays on special teams. Each week he's making plays on special teams, whether he's handling the ball or whether he's making a stop. He's a good receiver. He's a good, you know, and it's, people might look at it and it's like, okay, well, he didn't do much last year with the Panthers. It's like nobody did anyway, right? And it's like, okay, he caught 10 balls and he only had 60 yards. It's like the average depth of target, which I didn't put in there, was -2.5 yards.
Yeah.
What kind of play were they running with him? It's like, seriously.
It's just like Jackson Smith and Jigba's targets at the beginning of last season.
Exactly. That's what they're using Chenault for. And by the way, he was 10 for 10. Of course, you ought to catch those passes. But his yard after catch was actually really good. It's just because they virtually every ball was thrown almost 3 yards deep behind the line of scrimmage. Like, what exactly is he supposed to do with that? But yeah, he absolutely has to make the team, and Eskridge absolutely cannot. It's like he's not doing much when he's there, and he's had a lot of opportunities.
Too many opportunities.
Far too many. It was like Chenault's best. I mean, Chenault's worst season. He had half the production that Eskridge has had in his entire career.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
What's Eskridge has? What, 17 catches in his career, something like that? Is that even that many? 17.
Yeah, I believe that's it.
And he's just, again, you know, it's just, he's injured again. I mean, I know injuries can't, you can't really help it, but I mean, he's injured all the time. There's no reason to keep D. Eskridge, especially when Chenault does it. I mean, Aesop Winston can at least return punts.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell what he would do against number one cornerbacks, but I mean, he catches the ball.
He catches the ball, and he's healthy. As a wise person once said, what's the number one ability, and really in anything, is availability. Yep. And Eskridge, and again, like you said, it's no fault of his.
Availability is like talent. I can't remember who said that.
But if you can't play, if you can't suit up, you're no good to the team.
Suit up.
I mean, it could be.
You just went NPH.
It could be prime Jerry Rice, but if you were in some weird system where you could only sign 1-year contracts, it's like you'd cut Jerry Rice if he was out for the season. If he can't play, he can't play.
Right. Yeah.
And when Eskridge is healthy, he doesn't do a whole lot. He does less than a lot of other people on that roster. And it's like, it's nothing to do with Eskridge. It's like, I was stoked when they signed him. I thought this guy, I mean, literally, I thought, oh, here we go. Here's Tyler Lockett 2.0. And there was no reason not to think that. Yeah. I mean, you look at his college stats, you look at how he played, you look at his style, you look at his ability, and it's like, yeah, this dude is Tyler Lockett. And it's like, nope, he's not.
Not so, on or off the field.
Well, true. Yeah.
And that's another reason why, you know.
Right. Right. Unfortunately.
Yeah. So Derek Hall had another good game.
Yes, he did.
And I think it's funny because, you know, we're talking about preseason. So it's once they get in the regular season, everything looks completely different.
Of course.
Because they're scheming and everything. And he has to, but he's had a good training camp and he's done that against the number ones for Seattle.
Right.
I was surprised Boye Mafe got as many reps. That was interesting. But yeah, Hall looks like he should be the third edge rusher behind Nusu and Mafe. Yeah.
He has to be.
And
again, another guy that I know I harp on and probably talk about him every other thing, but it's like, why is Taylor still on this team?
The only reason I can think is that they didn't draft an edge rusher, and that's so they have four edge rushers for depth. That's the only thing I can figure. I mean, he still hasn't proven he can be better against the run. I mean, he's not going to good against the run, he's not going to play in Mike McDonald's system, right?
And he's not getting to the quarterback. He's taking bad angles, like, duh. Like, because Taylor.
That's what he's actually was taught, like, when the ball snapped. He runs off the field through the tunnel and he comes around the other side of the stadium out of that tunnel. And if the quarterback still has the ball in his hand 10 seconds later, because he's fast, then maybe he sacks the quarterback.
Well, what he's really good at, too, he's good. That's true. But he's also really good at when the quarterback does a very obvious fake. And he's standing there with no ball. 3 seconds later, he will annihilate that dude. That's he's very good at that, too. Like, dude, everybody saw he didn't have the ball. How do you not see that? He's right in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh
that was.
God.
That was weird.
It's very weird.
But yeah, so I mean, so Hall, I think Mafe's going to have a good season. And Hall looks like he's taking another step. Just maybe not like Mafe, because he still didn't have 3 sacks like Mafe did in his rookie season before he had 9 last year.
Right.
I'm still not sure if Marquise Blair is such a strange player because he didn't play anywhere last year. So no team thought he was good enough to be picked up. Right. He's extremely undisciplined at times. I mean, he was lucky.
Yeah.
He shouldn't, when that flag got thrown for after the quarterback had started his slide, Mason Rudolph, I think.
Right.
The flag shouldn't have been thrown because, I mean, it was. But he does that kind of stuff all the time. They did, but he does that stuff.
He does.
All the time where it's like just. And it's like, I know you want to be physical, but sometimes you just got to play the play. You can't just be like, I'm alpha.
Yeah, but then other times he'll come through and it's like, oh, look, he's like mini Cam Chancellor.
Yeah, I mean, he's got talent.
And he makes those plays because he made some exceptional plays. He's just, like you said, he's undisciplined.
Yeah, he's fast. I mean, we had 11 tackles, a few years ago when he started.
Yeah.
He's got talent. It's just he's kind of a hothead. I mean, I don't know. Can you trust him?
It's just a matter if McDonald and Durden and the rest of the crew can like get him to dial it down and just play within, not himself, because that's the problem. He's playing within himself. He needs to play within the team concept more. Not a whole lot more, because you don't want to lose that edge that creates this, like, oh, I'm going to knife through the line and annihilate this dude. It's like, that's the guy you want, but you want it when it's appropriate. So, I hope he makes the team. I don't know, maybe the new calmness guru of the Seattle Seahawks, DK Metcalf, should sit down and have a talk with them. Like, how weird is that? It's like they're getting really chippy in their own practices, and DK Metcalf has a talk with the team. No one knows what he said.
You mean after he hits the guy in the helmet?
Yeah, after he hits the guy in the helmet, right? It's like, but McDonald said, it's like, DK talked to the team, and like, and next practice, like, oh, they're not doing that anymore. And the joint practices with the Titans, very little of that. There was talk, but there was not really any fights.
From Jamal Adams.
Jamal Adams. There weren't really any fights in the game. Like, interesting.
Well, that makes you wonder, though, is because it was like so many backups versus backups. They didn't have the tension built up like if it had been starters versus starters. Or if Jamal Adams had been, and I know he was just kind of chirping during the joint practices, to be doing it. And he probably didn't cross. He got run over by DK on one play, but of course, well, DK's much.
No, no shame in that. It was like,
well, I've never been run over by DK. I'll be honest.
Vince Wilfork would get run over by DK. I mean, come on, man.
For those listening, I've never been in the same area as DK Metcalf, so that's why I was joking. Oh, Lee's full of himself. It's like, no, I would get run over. That's not a
good thing.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah, I was probably
up on Twitter. DK's on a flight to Nashville. You're in trouble.
Well, that's good.
3 hours.
I'm not near Nashville. Currently, I'm in Barbados, actually.
3 hour. Barbados. Oh, good thing for you, because I was going to say it's a 3 hour Uber. DK would just rent a car and he'd be
from
there.
From Nashville to Barbados?
Actually, DK would probably just like run and be there quicker.
He would leap.
Yeah, he would be there quicker.
Sorry, I'm in the Bahamas now.
Probably meets right up front of Big Ed's.
That's right. Doesn't want to wave.
By the time you hit the ground, you'd be at the Buffalo Grill.
It's like, hey, Lee, I saw you. Some brunette you were with. I didn't want to. If it was a date, I'm just like, it's not a date. It was not a date.
DK would not jump to that conclusion. DK jumps a lot, but he would not jump to that conclusion. Anyway.
What the hell? Oh, Seahawks, yeah.
Seahawks,
oh,
yeah.
Another guy that needs to be cut, Michael Dixon. I mean, what was that? That one punt, it literally went.
That disappointed me. He actually hit a 40-yard punt, and it's like he had, dude, I 25 yards to spare. What happened?
It was weird. And it was almost like he was mad at himself, and he literally kicked one 80 yards in the air. It was 80 yards in the air.
Yeah, I know.
Did you see the camera even lost it? Like,
yeah,
the ball's supposed to be in this area, it's like, that reminds me. I'm getting paid for saying that reminds me on this podcast, this episode. It's 3 cents every time I say it. So I don't know how much of the Olympics you watched. And I know we've talked tennis on this, but did you happen to see
2 hours and 7 minutes?
That's pretty good. Yeah. Did you happen to see the women's 4x400 that the United States won?
I did.
The distance between. At one point, they weren't even in the same frame.
They were not.
But that lady, the second lady, it was just like, boom. It was like, what is happening here? I mean, she was just like crazy far ahead. That had nothing to do with anything other than I thought I'd bring it up on, so people could listen to it on the podcast.
Speed. Speed. Has everything to do with speed.
Speed's a fine film.
Speed.
It's a fine
film. Has everything to do with speed. Speed.
I don't think I saw Speed 2.
I don't know. I was just going to say, we're not talking about Speed 2. Don't confuse it with Speed 2. We're talking about Speed. Not Speed 2.
Are the same people in Speed 2?
No.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, no. Does Speed 2 have? Oh man.
Does not have Keanu. I think Sandra is in it. And why? there's only one Sandra. I think maybe she was gonna donate her check to save Earth or something. Maybe that's why she did it.
Like if you do Speed 2 in several years, you'll be able to do Gravity.
Yeah, season Speed 2. I'm sorry, Speed 2. :, cruise control.
That's stupid. Why would you put it's cruise control?
Well, you know, as so many people have said, it has a 4 on Rotten Tomatoes. That's good to know.
Out of 5?
No, out of 100. 4%.
That's white socked film.
4% of the critics actually said, yeah, you should see this film. It's like, now I have to look that up after the show. Post-pro, hi, Ted.
Poor Sandra.
Who on earth said, oh, yeah, you should watch this? As so many people have said, it's Speed and it's on a cruise liner. It's like,
well, you know somebody who's cruising to her.
What is the speed? Is it 2 knots? Anyway.
It is. You know who's cruising to a roster spot is Kenny McIntosh. He has had 2 really excellent preseason games. And because I think we both thought, like, is it going to be, what's that noise?
I'll clap.
Gotcha. But George Halani, who hasn't looked bad, but it's like McIntosh looks, he's definitely running back 3 at this point.
Again, thank you so much for the preseason game 2, because again, an article that I would have been ridiculed mercilessly for, which would be, what else is new? But it's like, okay, it's like, who's it going to be? Well, I wasn't going to predict, so it would have been fine. But it's like, it really was up in the air, and I agree with you. It was like, is it going to be Halani? Is it going to be McIntosh? Because based on the first game, it's like, it was pretty much a toss-up, right? Because McIntosh was a little better.
For different reasons.
With a ball, right. But he blew pass protection. Halani didn't. You know, like, okay. I think Kenny took that to heart. Because, he looked like a number one. And, he was running against number twos. But he also was running with number 2 offensive line. So, And he had the deep threat of number 2 and 3 receivers. Well, not number 2 and 3 receivers. You know, number 5 and 6 receivers.
5 and 6, yeah.
So, dude looked excellent. Dude looked really, really good.
Kobe Lewis had 4 carries for -1 yard.
Yeah.
Not sure. How and then
played his way off the roster.
The leading running back for Tennessee, I guess, was Joey Chestnut. I'm just seeing Chestnut. Jerry Chestnut, 45 yards on 13 carries, and he also caught 2 passes for 29 yards, and eating hot dogs the whole time. But they were veggie hot dogs.
It's kind of concerning that, I don't know. I mean, in a way, it's concerning that they gave up a lot of completions to Malik Willis. But then again, these were like 4 and 5
passes,
you know, and then they were like, we would not have seen that had Witherspoon been out there
and Wolin
and
Joey Chestnut
one of the guys who was out there for the Hawks, who again he was one of my losers, Mr. James, he did not play well. Bill James. He did not play well. He should go back to writing about baseball because, I mean, he gave up big passes, committed penalties that, I mean, 30 of the yards, either 25 or 30 of the yards that the Titans had on one of their drives was because of his penalties. It's like first half, I think, what the Hawks had like 2 penalties, which is one thing that really should, we haven't talked about. I don't think anyone's even written about it. And you've written like 19 articles probably today. It's like how clean this team is playing.
Yeah, so far.
So far, right. But still, it matters. I mean, it's like they're very much more disciplined.
Well, they can't
be. Unlike my speaking.
Yeah. They can't be as undisciplined as they were under Carroll, because that was every year was that. That was a Carroll thing. It was, I mean, no offense to Pete Carroll. Again, best head coach in Seahawks history. But
yeah,
he had the tendencies he had even earlier in his time with Seattle were eventually going to catch up to him. And the, if you have Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas to, you know, cover up a large manner of sins, but if you're undisciplined and you don't have those kind of quality of guys, then it's going to catch up to you. And it did. I mean, you can't have penalties like that. It was just too much. That's on Carroll. He's the head coach. He needed to fix it. And there were several things he didn't, especially defensively, he didn't fix. And that's why he needed to, go. And they did, they hired a younger coach, but ironically they hired a younger coach who's much more of a disciplinarian than Carroll.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think that'll continue into the regular season.
It's making a big difference. I mean, if James had not committed those penalties,
Bill James,
again, you know, we might be talking about, oh, the Seahawks managed to hang on for a 15-13 win. He blew coverages. Yeah, he combined with Pritchett for that nice stop that saved a score and forced their 18th, whatever, field goal, the one that made it 15-13.
Go Auburn, by the way.
Yeah, go Auburn. Pritchett looked pretty good. It wasn't spectacular, but looked pretty good. But it's like, of the two, there's no doubt who's going to stick on the roster. I mean, James looked bad. He looked really bad.
Still makes you wonder why they chose two cornerbacks, both from Auburn. Maybe they couldn't tell them apart.
They just said, I'm not sure if this is, I'm not sure if we got the right guy in the fifth.
We get the right guy? No, take him
in the sixth. It turns out they got the right guy in the fifth round.
We're stuck with this guy already. I guess we'll take his teammate.
It's one game. Right, and you can't read too much into one game. That I mean, absolutely.
Well, he wasn't good in preseason week one either.
No, but he was awful. He was awful last night. It was like, dude, it was like, you're blowing coverage on again, fourth and fifth receivers. Like, you can't do that, man. And committing stupid, you know, face mask is like, really, dude. Like, that's just, you know, because he. Again, because he blew the coverage. So he recovers and drags the guy down by the face mask. It's like. But honestly, if your sixth round draft pick cornerback who is currently slotted as probably like, I don't know, the sixth or seventh back has a bad game in preseason, is that a terrible thing? No, not really.
It still makes you wonder, like, they could have chosen a different player. They didn't need another corner. One cornerback was enough. They already have a glut of cornerbacks.
They didn't
really need any, which is, I mean, they could have gone with an edge rusher. I mean, I guess they got Nelson Caesar, like, as an undrafted free agent. But, I mean, just take a chance on a draft. I mean, they did that with Michael Jarrell, who's actually looked decent. And he won't make the team because I just don't think they have the space for him. Hopefully, I mean, I think the idea that I'm getting, which is based on DK Metcalf not running me over, is that they hope he sticks on the practice squad, and then maybe he'll eventually, because he doesn't look bad when he's out there in preseason.
Right.
But, you know, again, we haven't faced the Wolves yet, so which will happen. Go ahead.
That will happen. No, go ahead. That will happen.
Yeah, I was going to say that would happen. That should happen, and at least in the very beginning of preseason week three when they play the Browns, who have an excellent defense.
Yeah.
And the starters on both teams, we already know Deshaun Watson's going to play for Cleveland, so that's good for Seattle. But we know that Geno Smith is going to play at least to start with, which is Brady Henderson had a good point. He said the real reason to even play the offensive starters against the Browns is because the two teams they faced so far, the Titans and the Chargers, basically have the same kind of defense that the Seahawks have. So, you know, at least the Browns will be different because it's a different kind of defense, and that should help, you know. Oh, it's good to see that in the preseason because it's like, it allows you to adapt to Ryan Grubb's new scheme and just see.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. You have a whole new offensive scheme. It's like, you can't go into the regular season without ever having actually faced game action with a new offensive scheme. You just can't. It's like whether he's in for two series or a quarter, like, that's all he needs to be in for. He just needs some live action to get a feel for, because they're not going to run anywhere near their entire package anyway, right?
Neither team is. I mean, defensively, and that's what she said. Offensively, that's, well, In her, case, when it comes to me, she's lucky.
That's true.
Because there's not much there. I'm the PJ Walker of that field.
Tyrese Knight. What did you think of Mr. Tyrese Knight's play last night?
I'm going to tell you about Tyrese Knight, Todd. Tyrese Knight is a fine young gentleman. Who's Tyrese? I'm just kidding. No, actually, he's been better in the preseason than I thought he was going to. Because when he was drafted, he kind of came in. He was a bit raw, and it was like, oh, maybe he won't really play that. But he actually looks like he could contribute this season. He's not going to start. What's happening with Jerome Baker, unfortunately.
Right.
I hope he comes back. But, I mean, Knight looks like he could. He's fast. I mean, he looks like he could play.
And he tackles.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah, when he hits somebody,
can I interrupt you for just a second?
Drop.
That was Please. One thing that really bothered me about the game last night. The way it ended is the defense looked like it did last year because nobody could tackle. It was so frustrating.
Right.
And I know those guys aren't going to make the team and yada, yada, yada. But it's still like, oh, this is PTSD from last year. But anyway, Tyrese Knight.
Yeah, Tyrese Knight looks, I mean, like I said, he looks like, and he had a Bobby Wagner vibe. I'm not saying he's the next Bobby Wagner. That's ridiculous.
Todd has just called Tyrese Knight the next Bobby Wagner.
The next Bobby Wagner. We're not talking about the Seahawks Bobby Wagner. We're talking about a guy that I knew in school.
That's right.
He ate glue a lot.
Did a lot of accordion covers of Doobie Brothers songs.
But he's fast. He gets the ball. He's got a good nose for the finding the runner. And when he reaches the runner,
his arms too. He didn't just tackle with his nose. I think
that's true.
I think that's a common misperception.
Yeah, that's quite true. It's like he's not the Jaron Reed of the linebacker core.
That's right.
Former nose tackle Jaron Reed. But he wraps people up. It's like if he gets there, it's like they're not going to get past him. Like that's his job. I really like, and again, right, he's not playing against the number one talent, but he looks much better than I expected. It's like he's definitely going to make this squad. Do I want him to start? No, because that would be a lot. But yeah, hopefully, you know, the situation's going to be fine. But the core is kind of thin, as we know, right? It's like after him.
Well, and the other issue with Baker is he hasn't practiced.
Right. Yeah.
It's like you're okay. You haven't practiced at all. You're starting week one. It's like,
clock's running. It's, calendars. Is the clock running or is the calendar flipping? I never can tell about that.
Well, I think the calendar does have to flip before the regular season, but the clock is always running.
Yeah. Okay.
Doomsday clock.
That makes more sense. Yeah. The Denver Broncos are doomsday.
What does the doomsday clock sound like? Does it have a sound? Do we want to have it be a sound? Because when it does go, boom,
I don't think there's any sound. I don't hear anything. You don't hear anything. Because the sound is slower than the actual physical force, and by the time you hear the sound, you don't hear it because you're dead. So
it's like doomsday clock. It's like, oh my gosh, it's happening, and then that gets to the end, and it's like ding.
Yeah, it's like lightning.
It's like lightning. It's like my toaster just went off.
Oh, there's the doomsday clock. Son of a gun! How about that?
I don't have the little bottle to pop. I don't have a little bottle to pop like I did last episode with the kind of thing.
What?
Whatever it was I was drinking. I don't remember.
Like that?
Maybe that's what the doomsday clock sounds like.
It sounds like this. Anyway.
It's underwhelming.
Mr. Knight, very fun. Mr. Sheriff, very fun. Mr. Lynch, very fun. If he makes the practice Sheriff squad, Lynch. He'll be lucky.
Yeah. Mike Morris looked pretty decent.
Mike Morris looked good. Yes.
Against backups again, but I mean, at least he's healthy, better than it was last year for most of the year.
Ty Okada made a few big plays. He also blew one coverage badly, but he made some big plays made up for
Okada,
it.
Okada's a weird guy because he was like he's been around Seattle for a while now, and it's like you kind of summed him up. He's capable of doing decent things, but then he does one or two things where it's just like, this is why you're not a player on the active roster. But I think he'll make the practice squad. Wasn't he on the practice squad most of last year anyway?
I believe so. Radigan looked good. O'Connell looked good. I mean, as backups, they look good. I'm not saying it's like, oh, we've got a new starting core. It's like, we're going to be in trouble. but, yeah, Overall, the guys who are going to be the backups looked good, right? Like, for the most part, Howell, right? The awful start. And I agree with you. Like, dude, you cannot start slow in the NFL in the regular season. You can't. Yeah. Because it could be 14-0. You're down 14-0 because you didn't move the team on the first two drives. You absolutely can't do that.
Yeah. And seven of that could have come on a pick six. So when he overthrew Bobo.
So. Yep, exactly. So, and like you said, it's not like, well, if it had been DK Metcalf, it still would have been an overthrow.
Yeah, like, Bobo and Metcalf are Metcalf probably can jump higher, but
yeah, they're but both 6'4". Not that high, because like you said, it was such a major overthrow. So, yeah, overall, like, I didn't really see much. I mean, to me, the most concerning thing is Meyer's extra point miss. And again, he hit three field goals, so it's like you can't really say, oh, he sucked, he's a loser. But he can't miss extra points, like extra I said. Points.
Loses like, your game.
It's a tie game if you make that extra point. So, you know, you can't do it, dude, especially since that's the second week in a row. I was like,
And he missed seven in his rookie season. I mean, he's missed multiple. I mean, you know, extra points are not what they used to be. They are more difficult, obviously. And he didn't miss any last year.
Right.
That's the first year he hasn't missed any. But he has had a history where he struggles with making extra points.
Yeah, unfortunately. So he's got to clean that up. I don't know how, but he's got to clean it up. And Mr. Walker, after he looked bad in the first week, he didn't look awful, but he wasn't good in the 4 for 10.
Kenneth Walker
would have been better than 4 for 10. In the first week. And it's like, if you look at the stats and you didn't see any of the game, you look at it and it's like, he was 4 for 8. He didn't really throw for many yards, but he's still 4 for 8. It's like,
yeah.
No, dude. No, dude. He played more likely like he was 1 for 19. That's about what he looked like. He was off. Absolutely.
He averaged 4.8 yards per completion. No, per attempt.
Yeah.
4.8 yards.
And
Sam Howell is 10.9.
One of his incompletions, which was like a terrible overthrow, is like a complete freaking miss, was wiped out because of a really bad late hit call. Like, that wasn't a late hit. Like, it went in our favor, but it's like, you know, to be fair, like, that was a stupid call. They shouldn't have called that. And I was like, and of course, Michael Bennett's on, because I was watching King TV. It's funny because I swear, and maybe there is no such thing as Kong, but it was listed as Kong. Maybe it was a typo.
No.
But I saw it like three
there's
times.
Kong. What happened was King was carrying the Olympics. So that's why King didn't show it.
That's
last
why they switched
week.
To Kong, because it was the same broadcast team. And I was going to, I forgot to mention it. They were much better this week. There were still a couple little glitches. But this time, if they missed something, they said, oh, my bad. Boom. It's all you have to do is like, how many times do I make mistakes? It's like,
a thousand times. Kong is an independent TV station in the Seattle area, but there were people in Seattle who couldn't get it to watch the first preseason game. And then you're kind of shut out because you can't watch.
What the hell?
Yeah. Well, and it's affiliated with King, but it's not a local affiliate kind of thing. I mean, but it isn't attached to a network.
But for the seven people who are listening to the podcast, because I mentioned one of the losers the first week, because they were very.
You're underselling us. We had well over 9 last week.
Okay, for the possible 10 people who are listening. Because I listed the broadcast team as one of the losers for week one, because frankly, there were like almost no losers for the Hawks in the first week. So, and the broadcast team was terrible. I mean, they missed calls. I mean, they said, oh, the extra point's good. And it was like, and they missed it and they never corrected it. I mean, they did show, you know, they showed the correct score. They showed the correct score on the Chiron. There's like, and that's 14-0 Hawks. It's like, no, it isn't. It's like, are you watching the game? Or are you busy thinking about who should we interview? It's like, come on, man.
I think they were watching Heidi.
I think they were. They were. Nice throwback, sir. They still did the annoying thing. It was like, oh, let's interview some people during the game. And obviously they won't do it during the regular season. I don't care because I won't be watching that broadcast anyway. But, you know, it was – it wasn't quite as egregious. But the main thing is like they didn't really screw up any calls. And like I said, if they missed a couple and they corrected it immediately. But I do like having Michael Bennett on there because they always rag him. They never pass up a chance of ragging him for, oh, look, someone made a penalty. I think you're aware of that, Mr. Bennett, aren't you? Like, which is, and he takes it in very good naturedly, but because what else is he going to say? Like, he led.
Right.
I think he had more penalties the entire league 1 year. He's like the Babe Ruth of penalties. yeah, still an awesome player. Awesome player.
Yeah, Babe Ruth. He was pretty good. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was a pretty good player. But it is nice to see Bennett on the broadcast team, and it's nice to see Cliff Avril on the broadcast. They were joking, and you didn't see this part, right? Because you weren't watching that broadcast. Correct.
Yeah, but I was stuck watching the Tennessee guys, they were honestly better than the Chargers guys. They did have they weren't such homers that you couldn't that made them unlistenable. They were fun.
I started out watching. That's what I was going to mention in prepo. Hi, Ted. I started out watching the Chargers guy on the DAZN broadcast, and then suddenly it was like literally between plays in the first quarter, they switched to the Seahawks, which I have no idea why, but they did. And it's like, oh, this is nice. Now we have the Seahawks home team broadcast instead of the Titans home team broadcast. But it's like, what? Why did this happen? I don't understand. It was like, okay, that's cool.
Actually, well, the reason the Titans broadcast was a little bit was better than the Chargers is because Charles Davis, I guess, is part of the Titans broadcast team.
Yeah, there you go. And Charles Davis is really good for sure.
Yeah, he was a homer with the Tennessee guys that played. So,
well, you know, kind of has to be because he would get thrown out of the state if he wasn't orange. And with Charles Davis, it's definitely big orange. Yeah, but well. Cliff Avril ragged him a few times because they said it looked like he bought that shirt at Tots R Us because he's wearing like a youth medium or something. It's like, that's check funny. Out my muscles, bro. It's like it was kind of a tight shirt. It was just really funny.
That's
like,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, that is our program, folks, for today. And we will be back whenever we are back because we never really know when we're going to be back. But we will be back. Thanks for listening.
Why are you the worst?